The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, April 19, 2015. We're part of the shows of 1240 AM WGBB, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking that little sport called hockey. You hear that, Claire? The cowbell was banging in Section 317 today. Thanks to the Islanders' 15-second into overtime victory, thanks to the captain, John Tavares. Beat the Washington Capitals 2-1, have a 2-1 series lead. And John Sweeney, you were two rows behind me today.
I was loving it today. I was loving it.
It was a raucous crowd.
This was the loudest crowd that I've heard at the Coliseum this year alone. 2 years ago against Pittsburgh was loud. This thing, I felt like the roof was coming off today.
Yep.
It was. My ears are still ringing. I'm still jumping for joy. I have the yes, yes, yes in my head. MVP. MVP. Johnny Tavares is the man.
And also, we got Derek Wasiak, who's going to be doing the second hour of the show. He's standing by, hanging out. And Derek, please, you can come in anytime you want.
I'm just taking it all in.
You're taking it all in.
Unfortunately,
when
fans,
you ring that bell, I don't know whether to say moo or boo.
Hey! You're insulting my wife when you do that.
Hold on now.
Well, boo in terms of the Islanders winning.
I love it.
You got to be able to put two and two together.
Can I describe this cowbell? It's a cowbell with a big, huge Islander sticker on it. I'm loving it, and it's great. Now, Derek Wasiak is the only Ranger fan here in this room right now as we speak.
I got to say.
So he is the enemy tonight.
I would like to strap that
around
your neck.
He is the enemy.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes. I did hear that.
I would like to strap that around your neck and let you do a monologue.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, during the first hour again, we're gonna predominantly talk about the game today, as well as the other two games in the Washington Capitol Islander series. If you want to call into the show, I did throw it up on the Facebook boards. We are going to take your calls in the first hour, 631-888-8811. In the second hour, we have a very special guest, Don LaGreca from ESPN Radio, also does a great job as the backup play-by-play guy for the New York Rangers. And, of course, for all you Islander fans, he also used to do a post-game show at the Marriott years ago with Peter Schwartz. So he definitely knows his way around the New York hockey scene, that's for sure.
Yes, he does. So now, what did you think today, Gary, of the game today? Let's see. Give us a rundown of...
I mean, you and I both were there. It was definitely 40 minutes of, I think, complete dominance of the Islanders, of course.
Dominance.
I mean, 7 minutes into the game, it took for Washington to get their first shot, and the Islanders already had 11 on board. I kept saying all along after game two, when the Islanders basically played on their heels the second and third period and Washington kind of dictated the game from there, that point on forward, they were going to have to bring the hitting legs back. And as soon as the fourth line came out, you knew the tempo of the game was going to change.
That was the most physical game they had that I've seen. I can remember in a long, long time the way they were doing. They were coming out and they were hitting everybody.
And again, it wasn't just Clutterbuck and Martin and Cizik.
The whole team.
It somehow worked up with everybody else. But to me, I think the pivotal moment or the pivotal matchup was the fact that usually when the Islanders play the Washington Capitals, you know that Travis Hamonic had the assignment of basically shadowing Alex Ovechkin.
And Johnny Boychuk did a great job.
He was phenomenal
today.
And to me, my wife and I, and my wife sometimes doesn't, she's a great hockey fan, but sometimes she doesn't get the intricacies and the little details. But she turned to me in the second period, with about maybe 5 or 6 minutes left, and said, you know, she goes, Johnny Boychuk doesn't look like himself. There was a couple of times he made some bad passes in the defensive zone. He didn't seem like he was totally there. And I said, you know what? I said, I guarantee when he needs to step up in a pure situation where something's going to be, you know, either a point-blank shot on net or something Ovechkin's going to do, he's going to step up and be the man. And during that power play,
in the last
15 seconds, he blocks two shots. He goes back in front and protects Halak and then comes back and makes that complete dive where you think, uh-oh, here comes Ovechkin's going to pull that little blast. And then he somehow has the wherewithal to turn his body around and swing that stick out and just get the puck away from Ovechkin as it just trickles
across the blue line. Now he's jumping in front of a guy that has a 110-mile-an-hour slap shot. Two shots. Not one. Two. That's sacrifice.
That's the job.
That is the job.
That is the job.
That is why the Islanders – signed him for a long-term 7-year deal, and it's well worth it. Same thing with Nicky Leddy. Had a good game today.
Nicky Leddy had a very strong game. There was a couple. I mean, that one instance where he had that shot that just went to the left of the goal of the net on Holpe. You know, he basically did almost another Bobby Bourne
yes.
game against the Rangers when he basically put Rio Ruotsalainen off on his butt. You know,
he
that
said,
was reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
It was pretty. It was a pretty good move. And you know what? And you could, and if you watch the replay, which I, as I did when I got home, you saw that play, and it's like you could see almost his eyes were like bulging. He's like, I'm going through here. I'm getting a shot off, and it was literally 2 inches away. I mean, it was a great shot on net. You know, no factor in the game, but
I think the Islanders played this series alone. I think they've played basically a one and a half periods of bad hockey, and maybe the third in this game they
I would say that I would say it was about a 3-minute stretch
yeah.
from about the 8-minute mark to the 6-minute mark when they scored. And again, they took the timeout with 7 minutes left because of the icing call. And I thought, well, maybe they'll get their act together. And unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. And
well, that's how deadly Washington is. They
and you're, yeah, and Backstrom had that seeing eye shot that got through yeah. that got through everybody. And I kept wondering why they went and checked with the NHL offices checked, but I think they were worried about if something
high
was high-sticked yeah. above, and unfortunately
Ovechkin
it wasn't.
Front, yeah.
Yep. Well, again, that's Ovechkin's job is to cause havoc, and he, you know, they if you shut down, obviously you shut down Ovechkin, you're going to shoot down this team.
Well, do you notice that's what the Islanders, I thought they were lacking a little bit at the end of the season. They weren't getting in the front. They weren't getting the dirty goals like Brock Nielsen was getting in the beginning, Anders Lee was getting in the beginning, and they kind of fell off. But today, Oposo's in the front, Lubo with the shot from the point, boom, from the blue, he shot it out from the blue line, boom, off Oposo's leg, in the net. You got to get in front of it. You got to sacrifice. They know what to do to win this series now.
Well, you saw that brutal hit that Oposo put on, Fair.
That
knocked him out
hit.
Of the game. That was a solid hit.
The game.
Yep. Yeah.
That was
2 minutes
that
in.
That was unbelievable what the Islanders have done.
They came
three
out.
Games in a row, they set the tempo to start every game. And you're on the right here, you're telling me how big Washington is. Don't seem like that with the Islanders taking the body to them. I mean, from a physical standpoint,
no, standing
they
size,
were all over Washington.
Size, standing up size to size, I'm saying Washington's a
yeah,
big team.
Yeah, so pound for pound.
They're one of the biggest, biggest players.
No, they are pound for pound, they
you
are the biggest
never known
team.
It watching them
right.
play. Physically, the Islanders were throwing the body relentlessly.
Yep.
And even guys put a guy out of the game, but he wasn't the only one.
Even guys like Thomas Hickey was throwing some brutal hits. You know, I mean, it wasn't just all their main guys. I mean, even the bigger guys were doing the job, and that's what you need against this physical Washington Capitol team. You know, and right now, you have to hope that they enjoy the victory for a couple hours, as John Tavares said after the game, put it in the rearview mirror. And concentrate on Tuesday because you know that a Barry Trotz team, and again, we saw it for all those years in Nashville.
Yes.
He's gonna make sure he knows exactly what was wrong with their team and make the changes that they need to do as they did in Game Two.
Yeah, the teams, which, as we know, we both ended up with 101. They're evenly matched teams. Washington came on strong at the end, and I think the Islanders, like they did last game, they put it behind us. Let's go this game. They came out guns and blazing, ready to go, smashing people into the boards. It was electrifying. The crowd was crazy. We were all going nuts up there, and they did what they had to do to win. Hey, Tavares, that 15-second goal in overtime, what was it, fifth fastest in NHL?
Tied for the fifth fastest, yep.
In history.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And
place went nuts.
Yeah, and we'll ask people if they call in, see if they know the trivia question, who was the fastest in overtime? In NHL history, we know it. We talked about it, but we'll see if somebody that they call will do it.
Again,
the number to call the show is 631-888-8811. I know I've talked to people and said they're going to call, so don't be shy. Come on, we got at least another 50 minutes here to talk about this. But obviously, two other games going on, one ended, one in progress right now. It's just starting the second period in Ottawa. The Senators are up 1-0 on a Clark MacArthur goal, and of course the Chicago Blackhawks with a making a change in net. You know, Corey Crawford, a Stanley Cup winning goaltender, hasn't hacked it the first two games. They removed him out. Scott Darling in. Chicago did the job.
Same thing with Ottawa. They pulled out Hamburglar today.
Yep, they pulled him out. It's a big, you know, as we were talking on air, you know, before we went on the
He's
air.
The one that got
big
you there.
He got you to the playoffs, but, you know, and as they said on the air before the Ottawa game started, they said they were only one save away from being 1-1 or 2 up or one goal away, so it was 2-1 goal games. You know, they hope to extend themselves a little bit. I mean, you know, And, of course, we should. If we can't be remiss if we talk about the game three, or actually the end of game two Vancouver and Calgary the other night with that huge fight going on.
Yeah.
Bob Hartley fined $50,000 basically
for putting
his goon line out, that's pretty interesting.
That was like a Tortorella move.
Hartley doesn't care.
That's like good.
Do you remember when he did it last year with Tortorella's team?
Tortorella
flipped out and went over to the locker room after the game, had words with him.
Yes. And he got suspended, five games, I believe?
And he got in trouble.
He got suspended five
games.
Hartley
just stayed there calm and cool,
yeah,
which is what he did on the bench, but they fined him because he put his line out there. But Hartley doesn't care.
All right, we got our first caller tonight coming in on Sports Talk 1240. You're on the air. Who are you, and what do you want to talk about?
This is Chris St. Mary. I'm calling from Buffalo, New York.
Hey, my buddy Chris. What's going on?
Hello, Chris, how are you?
All right.
Are you guys in Go ahead.
Made it down there last weekend for the last regular season. Wish you could be there for the playoffs, but can't afford it.
Yeah, I know that.
Besides that, the way they played in these three games, the first game, all them, they laxed off a little bit, but they still hold on. Second game, they came in and just figured, we got it, no problem, we have nothing to worry about here. And Washington came in and said, oh, you're in our house, and that's not how we're playing it. Today they came in and played that way for, like you guys said, two periods. Third period, they got a little bit sloppy and laid back, and that's when Washington started making a comeback. And it's like they had this thing all this season where they play hard the first and second period, and they get into the third period, and they just basically lay back and figure, we got this. And it's the same thing that happened towards the end of the season where they should have qualified for the playoffs long before they did, and it was the same problem. They basically got too full of themselves and figured that they were just like, we don't have to worry about it. We're in. And they sat back, and it's like they can't do that. They got to keep coming like they did today. They got to keep banging away and playing the game where they're in control.
If it's feet moving on the ice. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If they would have played better the last month and a half, they would have definitely clinched a playoff spot earlier. But who knows? I mean, who knows? Maybe it would have been second.
And when you're a home team, you have to dictate the action.
Yeah.
And if it had a 2.5-minute period of time, you saw Hickey, you saw DeHaan. They were laying back on their heels. And you know, with a team like Washington, with their weapons and with their power, you can't do that. You can't just let them sit there and let them run by you. I mean, the biggest case in point was that goal by, I think it was, was Backstrom on the power play when he basically strolled in front of three players,
Boychuk included.
Yeah. He just walked in and said, "Okay, I'm taking a shot." Boom, in.
Right.
I agree 100% with you, man. It's just being 400 miles away and watching it on TV is not the same as being in the Coliseum. I know. But it's like, it's frustrating as hell for me just as much because I can't do a damn thing and I'm further away, so I can't even voice an opinion pretty much know.
And my buddy Chris here went to the first game in 1972.
Wow.
So he had to come down from Buffalo, and he stayed at, you know, unfortunately, hotel Harding rates are not that cheap, you know? Right?
Yeah, I know. I got a free gift when I left, a parting gift. I've got his cold.
I want to ask you a question just to, I know the Islanders, you're a diehard Islander fan, but I want to ask you a question about the scenery up in Buffalo. And have you talked to some of your friends that are hockey fans about Connor McDavid not getting that first overall pick?
Oh, wait till he starts on this.
I was watching it. I can't believe the NHL decided this is the way they were going to go with the draft process, the lottery. It is so stupid.
I don't like it either.
They've gotten four of the top first pick overall in the past 6 years. And two of them, I think, were this way, where they weren't the worst team, but they ended up getting the first pick. And it just, the worst team should get the first pick.
I agree.
But Pittsburgh ruined that for everybody by tanking to be able to get who they wanted a couple years ago. And it's like, everybody here pretty much knew that we were going to get the second pick. It's like, if you're the worst team, you shouldn't have just a 20% chance. That leaves 80% for anybody else. And it just is, it's insane. If you're the worst team, you're the worst team. You need the most help.
Right, because other sports, football does it that way. You're the worst team, you actually get the first pick. There's no lottery situation like this. I think it was unfair.
Right, I mentioned to Chris on it because I talked to him on the way here that, you know, I mean, obviously in 2000, we were the number five, and we moved up to number one to get Rick DiPietro. And I said, you know, you could move up. I didn't think that system was totally bad because it only, you know, everybody was involved, but say somehow the 10th place team got the number one pick or the way the balls worked, they only would have been able to move up four spots. So, I mean, yeah, so obviously everybody had a chance, but still, 20%, to me, that's a little
yeah, you know, and you know what? Buffalo traded away, their GM traded away everybody just so basically they were surrounding around this Connor McDavid. They had the whole draft. They guys are running around for the midseason with Connor McDavid fans running around with Connor McDavid jerseys on. I feel bad for you guys up there.
Did you see his face after he made the draft pick last night?
Excuse me?
Did you see his face on camera?
Yes, I did. I did. He
didn't look happy.
No.
Well, you know
what?
There's
a friend, Gary and I both have a mutual friend, lives in Vermont, that's an Islander fan, Marianne Andriani, and somebody made a comment on Facebook about it, and she said, hey, leave him alone. The guy's been sentenced to be in Siberia.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. You're pretty much right.
Plus, he's in the shoes of the great one, Gretzky. He's got to have that. You know, it's always going to be looked up to him. Is he as good as Gretzky, this and that, being an Edmonton? It's going to be tough for him.
Yeah, so. Definitely. No matter where he was, it'd be tough, but that's makes it that much tougher being in Edmonton.
All right, so you're watching the game up in Buffalo real quick. Did you jump up and down and give a couple of yes, yes, yeses off the couch?
I always do.
There you go.
And I gave it on Facebook as soon as the game was over.
Gary's got the cowbell. Hit the cowbell, Gary.
Yeah, well, he knows the cowbell.
Oh, no, I don't need to hear the cowbell.
cowbell was in full force today.
I'm surprised she didn't have somebody in front of her complaining.
No, and then we were lucky. We were lucky that it didn't happen today, Chris. All right, dude. Listen, I know you're not feeling well. Listen, feel better, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Thanks for the call.
All right, sounds good. Keep on going, man.
All right, take care.
Let's go Islanders.
So
yeah, I heard from a couple people that the fans up there were very upset in Buffalo.
Yeah, they're not thrilled at all the way things are going, and I feel bad for them. You know, it's a good franchise, but we do get another call. All right, caller, you're on Sports Talk 1240. Who are you? What do you want to talk about?
It's Rich from Manhattan.
Rich, how are you, my friend?
What's up, my brother?
I can't believe I just heard the name of someone I've known for 30-some-odd years, Marianne Andriani and her wonderful husband, Richard.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, they're friends with your friend in Buffalo?
And me, too. Yeah, I know Marianne for almost 30 years.
I've known her since she was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anyway, today's game, we... CCC, Kane, and yes.
Mm-hmm. I love
Any
it.
Any language, it's all good.
I love it, Rich.
You forgot ya.
Yeah, well, communist, all right. Sounds good.
That's da.
The Islanders, I didn't think they were going to win the series. I figured they were good for one win at home. They've exceeded expectations. Even if they don't win this series, I will accept this as a good season.
I agree with you. I agree with Rich. I agree 100% with you.
Now, the lottery. I feel so bad for Connor McDavid. I really do. He's going to go there with a 9 and a 7 on his back, and the fans are going to start saying 200 points, breaking Gretzky's records. The whole thing.
They're not going to say that, Rich. Come on.
They're going to compare him. I agree with Rich.
It's a different era in hockey. Nobody's going to be expecting him to put up 150
points. He's always going to be in the shadows.
You guys are so dramatic. Listen, with this. He don't even play for the Rangers or the Islanders.
He's going to be
talking about the Sabres and the Oilers?
All right, but
you guys got to be kidding me.
Hold on. This is big news, though, in hockey talk.
Yeah, not here, though.
Okay, but I'm just saying, he's always going to be, and then we can end it right here, but he's always going to be in the shadow of Wayne Gretzky.
Well, I'm so sorry.
I knew I should have brought the nitroglycerin pills.
No, holy cow, you guys are killing me.
But he's facing the same thing Sidney Crosby did in Pittsburgh with the comparisons with Mario.
When the Islanders win the game 15 seconds into overtime.
We're going to talk about it.
I can't believe you're not talking about it, bringing back memories of the era started by J.P. Parisi. No, we're going to talk about the draft. For another 2 months. And nobody has a pick in this tri-state area that high.
Okay.
You're killing me. All of you. Derek, especially you, Cronish.
And the veins,
are you kidding me or what?
The veins are bulging out of his forehead right here.
You guys are something else.
Derek, you should worry more.
You spent 10 seconds talking about your team, Cronish, and you want to spend the next 10 minutes talking about the draft. You make me sick.
Would you like me to bring up that you should still play Talbot in goal over the
game?
No,
just stop.
They might go down.
Maybe Lundqvist should make the save to keep it 3-2.
They broke up the winning combination.
Oh, stop.
Just like I said.
Oh, yeah, you said. Coach Cronish, nice job.
Your team's in trouble.
They're in trouble at 1-1. Yeah, that's Rich. That's just great.
All those fans.
They've responded all season long.
The game was. We were listening to the game. It was kind of quiet in there. You could hear like it was like a library in that.
Towards the end, that's what you get when you go down 4-2 after you got it back to 3-2.
Well, when Washington scored today, our fans which are the, I think are the greatest fans in the world.
Oh, I'm sure
Islander
they are.
Fans.
Yeah.
We were
just
going,
stop.
Let's go Islander chant, and the roof was ready to come off.
Well,
when
sure
the when Pittsburgh takes the lead, the Ranger fans, all corporate guys and everything, have their hands under their laps.
Are you kidding
staring,
me or what?
Staring at what?
You guys haven't won a series in over 20 years.
I know that,
but
it's
going to
change in this year,
well,
buddy.
Well, let me change first. Give me a break already.
It's going to.
It's the loudest it's ever been. Well, I guess you missed the 80s then. I don't want to hear about it.
Look, they played really good.
Played really good. They've been all over Washington at the start of every game.
Hey, Brian.
Washington has been an extreme disappointment so far. They haven't learned any lessons here. The Islanders have physically have taken that aspect of the game away from the Capitals, and they've limited to Ovechkin to one goal.
That's
an extraordinary job. And today, what did the Capitals do? They couldn't even score a power play goal,
that's
which
right.
I told you before the series started.
They're number one in the league.
The Islanders
power plays.
Stay out of the box, which they've done a good job with. And they kill off penalties. Guess what? You're taking away Washington's number one weapon.
Well, you know what? We got counseling session going on right now.
Counseling? I just don't see talking about the draft that much.
Okay, you're right.
Connor McDavid.
All right,
yes.
We got. You know what? We got another call coming in, Rich.
Fourth
we're going to take it. All right.
Fifth ring. Fourth line, fifth ring.
Yeah, Rich, right. Last point, because we got another call coming on.
The fourth line could lead us to a fifth ring.
I agree,
of
Rich.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
All right,
Rich. Me and you were drinking the Kool-Aid earlier in the year, anyway.
Well.
Now I'm drinking it even more. I actually have the Kool-Aid right here.
We'll be playing the Penguins in the next round.
That's iced tea.
There you go.
There we go.
Depending on the Penguins in the next round, I would only wish that would happen.
All right, Rich.
All right.
And to be fair, on Derek's advice, let's get
focus
back
on
into
the playoffs,
focus back into the Islanders, okay?
And you should talk about the fourth line because that goal by Clutterbuck, I know they lost game two, but listen, the fourth line physically and contributing offensively.
Absolutely.
They had a great start to that game. I'm amazed at how they've controlled the start of every game.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we got another call on the line, Brian. Okay, you're on Sports Talk 1240. Let's see if we can bring the level down a little bit.
He hung up.
He must have had a heart attack listening to the yell.
Is he there? Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Who is this? There is a here on hold. I just want to say a shout-out to Derek Wads over there. You know, he's a Ranger fan.
thanks.
And I was listening to the show. This is Adam from Queens, by the
way. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Adam, how you
what's
been,
what's up? Thank God for Derek coming in there, because I kept checking my app, the TuneIn app. I was pretty sure that this was a backdated show from 2013 or something, and I wanted to hear a recent thing, because I hear stuff about draft talks and Buffalo Sabres. And
thank
I was very
you,
confused.
Adam. Thank you.
I was deeply confused until Derek came in and lambasted y'all.
I'm just trying to help.
Which was good. Yeah. The Islanders won a playoff game today.
Adam, what fan are you?
Two one up in the series.
What fan are you?
Adam, tell him what year
Islanders.
You were born.
You're
tell
Adam.
Him what year you were born.
1981.
All right, he's been suffering. He hasn't seen one
yes,
yet.
Yes, you're right.
He's a true Islander fan.
Yes.
I've never seen one.
Give us
your
take on the game, Adam. Go ahead.
I'll give you the quick take. This was a have-to-win game. It had all of the makings of a 1-0 sort of a game. It was just you saw that Braden Holtby was on point completely, and the Islanders just did the only thing that they could do is a barrage of pucks at them. And they finally break through, and then they do this very annoying thing where they change the entire style of their team. They play the rest of the game like it's a penalty kill, and it caught up with them.
But they were playing on their heels even worse. You know, it's bad enough when you're playing a penalty kill style mode, you know, like that prevent defense or looking at was it Jacques Lemaire defense that the Devils played all those years? Yeah, that's fine and dandy. But you know, if you keep you're going to be on the heels with a team like Washington, regardless, you know they're going to beat you. And it seems like they do that almost every single game. It's like that 3-minute brain fart stretch that they have.
Hopey, like he said, Hopey did stand.
Hopey was
brilliant.
He's
the only reason that was a game.
Yes,
at
no,
all,
no question.
And the only reason it went to overtime.
No question.
And that's
no
how
question.
Impressed I've been with the Islanders. That's why I mean the love should be.
For
overflowing from
for
you too.
Oh, it is.
And the way they've played is outstanding. And if they keep it up with the way they started games,
they're going to wear them down.
They'll win in six.
They're going to win in six, like I said. Yeah.
I'll throw a question before I get off the line.
Okay.
Too, because it seems like I'm a lone voice. Perhaps I'm not. But I really, and I like the guy. I don't have any personal, I think he's a gentleman. But Jack Capuano has got to be held to account for this constant pattern this has to be a decision from the head coach that, oh, we're just going to back down now. We have a healthy one-goal lead. They often do it with two-goal leads, of course. They just play defense. They just try to clear the puck. They just try to slow down the game, and they're terrible at
it. To me, it's either killer instinct or go for the jugular. And sometimes you're right. You're absolutely right. I totally agree with you that there's times that I'm sitting in the seats in 317 going, I'm pulling my hair out and going, why aren't you pushing this team to the brink?
Yeah.
You had them down there. You were hitting like crazy. You were dictating the play for 40 minutes, and all of a sudden you just lay back. And it's got to be coaching. It has to be. It has to be something there.
His voice is not. Your voice is not alone. There's plenty of people that agree with you.
I mean, obviously, if you're on any of the Facebook, if you're on any of the Islander Facebook boards, there are so many people that want to take Jack Capuano to the middle of Hempstead Turnpike and lynch him.
Well, the Islanders haven't been a good defensive team for a long time. I'll say this in Capuano's defense: if you go back, because I'm sure you'll watch it 1,000 times, and you take another look at that overtime game winner by Tavares, you'll see that when taking the puck down behind the goal line, Carlson just whips it up the boards without any, you're going to put it high off the glass and out of the zone, fine. But puck's kept in by the Islanders, puck to the net by Letty, rebound, score, game over.
Coleman score, game over.
That is a good example of what has killed the Islanders, defensively at least, the last 2 months. They're not a very good team.
Horrible
making
clearing
decisions
the puck.
And transitioning out of their own zone.
Yep, horrible clearing
That's the
puck.
Biggest problem.
Yep.
And I don't necessarily put that all on coaching. There is a certain lack of experience there with this team. If you notice before overtime started, they gave a list of all the overtime goals scored by both teams, and there was nobody on the Islanders with an overtime game winner for that particular team.
Yeah.
Well, that was playoff.
I mean,
there is a lot of experience gained on the run here, as we're going along. So that's a problem you got to deal with. You're developing a good, strong, young team. You got to take that. But you got to give Capuano credit. That's what I feel, and I said that all along this year.
Excuse me?
Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead. Make your point.
The parting shot is this became one of those games that is a must-win. I mean, that's sort of an easy thing to say in a playoff series, but with all the good feelings, with the way they dominated the first two periods and the atmosphere of which the TV announcers mentioned over and over and over, to have lost that game in overtime...
Oh, that would have been devastating.
I just don't see how they come back from that.
We would have needed
Washington too.
I know we would have needed a defibrillator in the studio with Sweeney
It would have been devastating for everybody. It would let the air out of the sail. But like Butch Goring says, you got to win the first game, the third, the fifth, and the seventh. And if you go to seven, but if you win the first, third, and fifth, you're in good shape. And that's what they're on the same course for doing that right now.
Right. So we'll got to hope that they come out again. They got to match the effort that Washington, because Washington's going to come out gangbusters to the wall. And game four, they've got to come out the first 5 minutes and make a statement again, kind of like they did with the fourth line. Again, the fourth line, as Derek mentioned, they're brilliant in setting a tone.
Best one of the best fourth lines in the league.
I think all four lines. I think if you start the way you did the first three games, you're giving yourself a real good chance to keep your foot on their throat, and you get the next one. You're guaranteeing yourself to finish it off in six? That's more than you could ask for as an Islanders fan. I'm sorry. With the way they played the last 2 months, you have to be happy about this.
I'm excited. We're all excited. We're ecstatic over this.
The Islanders' best defense is really their offense. Because when Boychuk and Letty, and Letty I knew was going to break through eventually. He didn't score the goal, but he set it up today.
Mm-hmm.
They keep taking slap shots right at the net. And what happens? Rebound.
Yep.
Even if they miss the goal completely, it careens off the boards, and here's a juicy puck just sitting there, sometimes in the slot, sometimes right outside of it, and when they continue to lay on the gas, so what? They leave themselves exposed every once in a while. That's where Halak comes in. That's why you have a goalie. That's why you pay him the money.
Exactly.
So it's worth it for me, for them, to continue that offensive kind of push. And, I feel obligated just to.
We appreciate that.
They were one of the best teams in the league for scoring goals this year. The Islanders, they did. They're the worst team out of all the playoff teams for letting up goals. Okay.
All right,
Adam. Thanks very much for the call. We really appreciate it.
Let's go
Have
Islanders,
a good night,
Adam.
Thank you.
All right, listen, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll continue your calls. Again, the number to the station is 631-888-8811. This is Gary, John, and Derek on Sports Talk 1240. We'll be back in a couple of minutes after we pay some bills.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Okay, we're back to the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240 for this 8 o'clock hour. This show is proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care in Mineola and East Williston. Dr. Stephen Brook and his team do a great job. They've been a patient of theirs for over 20 years. For information, contact countryfootcare.com. And I am also now sponsored by Harbor Beverages in Huntington, just north of 25A on Route 110. For all your craft beer and beverage purchases, go see Harbor Beverages. They're on Facebook, and please check them out. All right, so do we got a call on the line still? No, they're not on? Okay. Again, the number to call is 631-888-8811. I got to get into this. I got into it on with you guys before we came on the air, but I am, over the last 2 weeks, have slowly becoming one of the biggest Nikolai Kuhlman fans around.
He's had a fantastic series.
This man is a bomb. And he is doing exactly what Garth Snow wanted when he brought him and Mikhail Grabowski here. Unfortunately, Grabowski is not at 100%. He's supposedly at about 80%, and probably I don't think we'll see any action in round one. And truthfully, why would you? I mean, obviously, a lot of people up in, especially in Section 317, the woman that was sitting in front of you, John, was pretty teed off that Grabner was sitting out in game two. I'm a big Grabner fan, have his jersey. Unfortunately, I can't wear it anymore because I've lost 130 pounds, and it's like a dress. But to me, he was absolutely – him and Anders Lee were pretty much inept in game two. And I think, and everybody knew that there had to be some type of a change made. You know, people were upset about Kennedy. I think Tyler Kennedy had a pretty good game tonight. Obviously not involved in the scoring, but you know what? He's feisty. He also has 75 games of Stanley Cup playoff experience and a ring to his credit.
Yeah.
And those are things you can't, especially at this time of year, those are things you've got to have in your lineup. You have to have that experience. You got to have the wherewithal to work with the guys, the Ryan Stroms, the Anders Lees, the Brock Nelsons that haven't had that experience. Obviously, we saw what happened in game two at Ryan Strome. You got that retaliatory slash, obviously caused the penalty, caused the power play.
Right.
Cause the game-winning goal to happen. You know, so those are the types of guys you need in your lineup. Obviously, Letty and Boychuk on the back line. You know, we all know where their history's been. And, you know, I don't know if you watched any of the replay, but, I mean, Eddie Olczyk was really, really singing Nick Leddy's praises today. I mean, you know, again, you know, getting that 7-year contract, he's just 23 years old. You know, I mean,
they have a look with Strom's 21, Brock, you know, they got a young, good team. They're going to be good, and they're going to really be good. They're going to make that run like they're going to do this year. They're going to make that run in the next couple of years. They're going to end up winning cups, start winning cups.
And
like
I agree,
this.
And you got guys coming, you got guys that are coming up. I mean, you obviously, they brought Griffin Reinhardt just in case with Travis's situation. They've been able to handle it so far. Obviously, he's probably got a very good chance to come up next year. Ryan Pulak, excuse me. I believe he was just under 20 goals in Bridgeport while missing 25 games on the back line.
Right,
and I think he had like 15 or 16 power play goals for them, which is a fantastic stat. So you got good defensemen coming up. You obviously got a good bunch of forwards. To me, you've got a great goaltender working his way up. Started, ended up signing a contract and played for Bridgeport for about 6 games. His name is Stefan Williams. He played at Minnesota State this season and I think was the most had the most wins of any goaltender in Division One, 935 save percentage. So you're right. Your future's coming.
Yeah.
You've definitely got some guys that are ready to go, ready to come up. All right, we got another call on Sports Talk 1240. You're on the air. Who are you, and what do you want to talk about?
Gary, John, how you doing?
Hey, John Panarees, how are you, buddy? How was your vacation?
Very good, very good. Didn't want to be coming home, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, so how much did you get to hear or see? Well, yeah.
Well, I was getting updates from about 8 billion people, so I knew what was going on. And, of course, you know, the flight coming in, I didn't realize I could have caught the game because they had the in-flight, you know, entertainment.
Oh,
so
no.
About 3 o'clock, 5 after 3, Trish goes, oh, my God. She goes, you could have been listening to the game. The Islanders just won it in overtime.
Oh.
I was like, Christ.
It was on NBC today.
Only you, John.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen it. You've been away all week, so you really haven't seen anything, have you?
No, I got to try to find highlights someplace. I mean, I was ticked off obviously Friday. You know, 3-1 lead. I'm like, oh, I'm eating dinner. I'm like, oh, great. They're gonna be up 2-1. Coming home, and all of a sudden I start getting texts from my brother and from my cousin. The Islanders blew it.
Ralph's been in touch with me too, sending. Sending some nasty pictures that I can't really talk about on the radio right now.
They just slowed down like a couple calls before. They weren't moving their feet, and they played a good game for a period and a half in that game, and then they just fell off in the middle of the second period. And I don't know why they do that, but
you can't do that in the playoffs.
No.
I mean, this is just if they have their A game, they're gonna beat the Capitals. But if they don't have their A game,
Well, they came out guns and blazing today. It was some game with atmosphere. The Coliseum was rocking. The place was going. And the Islanders were incredible. They've been doing this every period, like Derek said before, like we talked about. They've been coming out and controlling the game. They've taking control of the game, hits, this and that, and taking the lead.
And, you know, I mean, even if you were listening to the game on the flight, John, I mean, if you blinked, you missed.
Over. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was funny. Claire and I are sitting in the seats, and I said, I need something. You know, I said, you got anything in your bag? She's always got a bag of tricks and, you know, stuff. And she goes, oh, I got lollipops. I'm like, all right, great. You know, I said, she passes me a lollipop. And as soon as I unwrap the wrapper, I stick it in my mouth. The overtime was just starting. She goes, oh, I think I'm going to get one, too. And she basically looked down into her bag, and by the time she looked up, we scored. So
how did the goal develop? I mean, what did they just? Boychuk
got the face off, slammed it in. Holtby went and passed it around back to was Carlson right there?
He threw it around
to Carlson, but basically Holtby did something that Halak's been guilty of many times, and they just didn't get the puck out. And then got back to the point, got pushed in. Kuhlman made a move. Got the puck on net. The puck went to the side of net, and basically JT shot from a ridiculous angle.
Incredible. The guy is the greatest player.
Yeah.
Greatest player.
All I know is I don't want to play him in a game of pool. That's for sure.
Johnny
Hope he probably should have froze the puck, but you know what?
Yeah, again.
Carlson just didn't react properly.
They mentioned that. They said 99 times out of 100, Holtby would have stopped the puck. You know, I mean, it was so early in the
He
the
probably
period.
Felt Carlson had time to turn it up and move the puck, but he just whipped it around the boards.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and didn't
it happened. So it's the fifth fastest time?
Time? I heard that somewhere today.
Yeah, nobody gave us the answer yet, so we're still waiting if somebody calls and gives us the answer over the next hour and a half. And even probably Don LeGrec will know, too, if he's on at 9:30, but not 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but it was incredible. John, you can't let Johnny T have the puck in that situation right there, and he just buries the puck. He is the greatest. He is the greatest hockey player in the world, in my opinion. In my opinion. And I went,
he did what you're supposed to do.
He did what you're supposed to do.
Puck to the net. He went to the net. Right. Rebounds there. Scoring chance. Cashed in on.
You know, that's what your captain, that's what your top player has to do. He's got to, A, he's got to score, but B, he's got to score the big goal.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, he's got to lead by example, and that I think was an important.
Well, you know what? That's their first overtime winner since Volek in 93.
Right.
Right.
That's got to be as big as they come right now when you're trying to, you know, revisit
against Washington,
so,
right?
I mean, it was huge.
Well, you know, I was doing everything short of sitting on the other side of the rink because, you know, 22 years ago when all that stuff was happening, I had just started going out with my wife, and I was sitting over in section 331. I wasn't sitting in 317, so I was basically in between periods running across the building, going to see her and then going back. But, I mean, unfortunately, you know, we did everything except that, but, you know, she unfortunately missed the shot. But
who scored the other goal, the first goal for the Islanders?
Kyle
Poulsen.
We'll tell you, Lubomir Vyshnovsky got hurt in the second period, got a hit from Troy Brower, and he basically didn't see it coming. Clean hit, wasn't bad, but he was basically face down on the ice for about 2 or 3 minutes, then got up, went, you know, basically he was told he had to go off the ice with that injury. You know, he was fine. He wanted to go back on the bench. The refs told him no, he had to go back out, so he went to the locker room for a couple of minutes, came back, got almost a standing O when he got back on. I think he's going to become, like, you know, legendary here. You know,
yeah.
he gets back on the ice. Oposo gets a shot on net, and Holpe made a ridiculous save on that. I don't know if you saw that save he made. Then it goes back to Vyshnovsky from the point, takes a shot, and it basically went off Oposo's thigh and trickled in.
Yeah, when Okposo missed that original chance,
yeah,
I said to myself, I think I actually looked at the clock on the TV and I saw 7:27 to go, and I said, if they lose the game, that's why they lost right there. That save.
And
they scored very quickly after that.
It was
less than 10 seconds later. Thinks about that or says it, but that was the whole turning point right there. If they didn't score so quickly after that, they might not have won. They might not have.
It's
I'm not saying
possible.
They wouldn't have, but that was a huge. It was huge that they got the goal right there. And then
it was one of those typical momentum things. The crowd got nuts, you know, because it was just a fantastic save, and all of a sudden, the puck goes back to, you know, Lubo from the point, and he gets that shot off, and they announced Lubo was the third star, and I thought it was so cool. He basically went. He came off the, you know, came out the tunnel and went basically diagonal to the other side of the rink. Clapping his hands like a soccer player does, when they come off the ice, saluting the crowd, through the, you know, because usually they throw the puck right by where they come out. He went to the complete opposite corner, and not only threw it, he chucked it into the 200 section.
Yes.
and then went back and was applauding the entire way back.
I have a ton of respect for him. One, because you spoke about the hit he took when he got hurt originally on that collision.
Yeah.
He took a big hit to keep that
from
puck.
Ovechkin. Yes.
And that was even more impressive.
Ovechkin was the most impressive.
Yeah, that's it. Because he got he scored the goal from the – he took the shot from the right point. But on the left point, Ovi nailed him. And he basically just got up and got right back into the play. It was just –
it was impressive.
Yeah. And, you know, he's one of those guys. He's such a nice guy to talk to. You know, he's got such a great attitude, and from what I've heard from people that have actually spent time and talked with him, he loves Long Island. And he said he's one of those guys that may say, you know, after his playing career, he may live here.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's great news. You
I'll
know?
Tell you something else that was really impressive to me, and this is more like the three games in general, but something that was important and happened during the regular season in terms of the young players, Ryan Strom. And Brock Nelson, would they score at least 2 goals apiece so far?
Yes.
Both have 2 goals.
That is huge for first-time playoff performers, young guys, coming out and getting right in the mix offensively. That's been huge for the Islanders. I'm telling you, I don't know if there's a player on that team that I would criticize. Even your whipping boy, Johnny. Josh Bailey, he's been pretty good.
Bailey's been great. Well,
and you always have to pick on him.
Too bad my wife's not here, because then she'd really be ripping if you didn't like Bailey.
He hates him. John hates him.
No, I know.
No, I don't.
And you always call the coach Fred Flintstone. What are you talking about?
I do call the coach. Yes,
he's the whipping.
Look, I'm not alone with Capuano, and Capuano's a little light on the on. He's not. I don't think he's tough enough for the players. But you know what? I'm not alone with that. There's a whole lot of people that agree with
me. I might have to take you to training camp next year when I work a game and introduce you to him and tell him.
I'm not saying he's not a nice guy.
I like that.
He's done an excellent job. I think you guys are a little
I think you guys are
a little too hard on the coach. Like this is a team that's been winning for the last 10 years.
No, I
gotta be honest with you.
I'm all right. I mean,
but guess what? They kind of collapsed. They won 6 games in the last month and a half.
And already they've erased that for the most part through these first 3
games.
That's impressive.
No, I agree.
That's impressive that a coach could get his team to turn it around like that. I mean, I'm a big Ranger fan, so I'm not focused on the greatness of the Islanders right now like you guys are. I'm thoroughly disgusted with the Capitals because I can't believe how they've been beaten at their own game. So why wouldn't I turn around and give Capuano a ton of credit for that?
Yeah.
You have to. Coaching is not easy, and he's doing a good job with an inexperienced team and one true superstar.
And he's getting them experience.
Yeah.
Now, the bottom line, he's getting these guys.
They're getting on the fly. Those young guys that scored goals.
Yeah.
That was great.
I agree. I mean, there were two players I've been disappointed with in this series. One, he benched already, and that's Michael Grabner. And again, I love Grabner, but,
it is what it is.
What? Right. The other one is Andersley. And I think he's just running. I think Andersley is just running out of gas.
You got to take that. Even Hayes, for the first couple of games for the Rangers in the playoffs.
No, I agree. I mean,
it's not a bad thing. There.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's just,
happens with young guys.
I think it's a lot with the guys that come from the college game to the pro game.
They seem to.
I mean, he had a 70 game season in Bridgeport last year, but you know what? When you get to that 80 game, now you're hitting game 85, 86, 87.
Right.
It's going to take a toll on you no matter what.
I mean, Ovechkin only has one goal. That is unbelievably impressive from a defensive standpoint. I mean, the Islanders are not one of your top defenses in the NHL. That is impressive what they're doing to him so far.
The
number one power play in the NHL last year, Capitals, and they held him down 0-7.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
And like I said, they scored the one power play goal last game. Backstrom had.
Oh, that's right.
But they've done what I told you last week, Johnny, right? They've stayed out of the box for the most part.
Yeah.
They had one penalty that game. Washington happened to cash in. Today, would they give him 3 power plays? That's a good job.
Yeah. They've played a lot better on their team.
Ovechkin had, 12 shots in the first 2 games? 3 this game.
Yeah.
He had 9 attempts. He had 9 attempts either blocked or missed the net. I think Boychuk blocked it. I think at least 4 of them.
Some big hits, and he set a screen on the time.
Yeah, goal. John, the thing thing we didn't talk about, I don't know, did you hear the beginning of the show?
No, I just literally got in.
I mean, Washington had a power play in the last minute of the second period, and basically, obviously, with Hamonic being out, it's now Boychuk's responsibility to shadow Ovi. And what basically happened was, Ovi had a couple of shots from his typical spot in the slot right by the faceoff circle. He blocks 2 shots, Boychuk goes back and helps out Halak in front of the net. The puck comes back to Ovi, and Boychuk basically slides to try to block the shot, and he basically misses the path of the puck by about maybe 2 or 3 inches. And Ovechkin's about ready to line up the shot, and all of a sudden Boychuk takes his backhand and slides it behind him and basically knocks the puck right off of Ovi's stick, and it trickles over the blue line as the period ends. It was like
a classic.
It was unbelievable perfect timing. You couldn't write a better script. Right,
exactly. It was fantastic.
So what's the word on Travis?
Forget about it. You state secrets are harder to get than this. But
okay.
I mean, from what I am basically hearing, I don't think you're going to see him until round 2. If you see him in round 2.
Right.
You know, it's pretty rough. I mean, for Travis, you know, because we've all seen during the year how he's been hurt and he's come back shifts later and been the warrior that he is. For him to miss time like this, it's got to be a major problem.
Yeah, it's got to be something going on.
They're picking up for him, though, right?
Oh, they are.
Sure.
And they're not deep defensively in the organization.
Again, I've had, if anybody's heard my rants on Isles Talk, I have blasted, I mean blasted Brian Strait. All up and down. And Eddie Section 316, where the heck are you? You were supposed to call me. But anyway, we've been blasting him a lot. But I'll truthfully,
he's
the last 2 games,
series.
He's played excellent. And again, my friend Eddie made the point. When Strait gets physical, when he initiates contact, to me, he's effective. And, you know, he's not a small guy, he's not a big guy, but he can push the body around. And when he does, and when he's effective, that to me is when he's most effective. In those first 3 games, he's done just that. You know, and you can't remind. Oh, and by the way, I got a tweet from my buddy Paul Kreischer, who runs Isles Talk now in my leaving. The answer to the question for the fastest overtime goal in history, we know it in here, but the answer was Brian Skrudland in the 1986 Montreal Canadiens did it in 9 seconds.
See, he probably looked it up. I can't believe you didn't
No, Paul Christ. No, Paul is my draft guy. He's a good hockey guy.
We
knows
have
the
no
stuff.
Proof of that, though.
No. John, can you?
1986.
John P, you can vouch.
It's all right.
Yeah, 1986, he did it.
Amazing stuff.
That's all right.
No, he's good. He's good.
He asked me when I walked in. I knew the answer. I didn't have to look it up.
No, I know you didn't. You're a
That's
savant.
Okay.
Derek, you're a
That's
savant.
That's all right.
He's a savant.
Waz is a savant.
That's quite
he
all
right. He is.
I'll tell you what, man. The Islanders, they got all their scores from the regular season producing right now.
Yes, they're playing
you
great.
You have to be ecstatic about that.
Tavares' line's awesome. I mean, today, I'm so proud of this team. And I said it before. I really am. No matter what happens with the series, I am so proud of this team, whatever they're going. They're playing fantastic no matter what. Whatever happens at the end
it's
of this.
It's not even that they're taking the body. They've been physically punishing guys.
Punishing, yeah.
Fear's the only guy that got knocked out of the game. He ain't the only guy that felt the effects from a big hit.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys
Clutterbuck is amazing. And you know what? I love
Martin and Clutterbuck.
I love the fact that he not only does he hit, but he agitates people. And you know, the 2 years as an Islander, he's not had one fight. And that's the thing that shocks me. Yeah, he's pissed people off to the point where he gets people off their game and has drawn a lot of penalties, but he has not gotten in a fight at all.
And I don't care. Overtime goal, things like that happen. But even before that, the way the Islanders have been on the forecheck and taking the body, John Carlson, he don't look good at all out there.
No.
And he is an all-star, all-American defenseman in the NHL. You would never know it watching him play for the first three games. Never.
I haven't been too impressed with Brooke Zorpik either.
He's been okay. I mean, he's just a physical stay-at-home defenseman. John Carlson has a lot of talent, a lot of offensive talent.
Top one, yeah.
In addition to
remember,
size
won,
and ability,
won a gold medal in the World Juniors.
I mean, right. I've been impressed with how pedestrian they make him look. It's infuriating as a Ranger fan. I'm infuriated by the Capitals.
Yeah, they've taken Tim Gleason off his game too.
The only thing you got, here's the only criticism. The only thing you failed to do was take advantage of a goalie thrown in there the day of the game because Holt
was out with 17 only, shots on
net. And you had him up by two goals. Yeah. And you let the last two months creep back in. That's the only criticism I have.
No, that's the one thing I was saying all along. They don't have that killer instinct. If you got a guy down two goals, you got to step on it and put it in another gear and take him out.
That's it. They had him.
But they did it game one. They won that game 4-1, right? They won that game 4-1. Brock had two goals, had the empty netter at the end of the game. They came out the first period and a half in the second game.
Right. But they had the two goals. They got that.
2-0.
Washington got 2-1. They made it 3-1. At that point, you should have been going for the jugular.
Yeah.
Right.
Take them out.
They gave the Caps one goal in each of the games they won. All right. That's against a goaltender. That's going to be up for the Vezina. Hope he will be up for the Vezina.
Yes,
I guarantee.
Yeah, no question.
He won't win it, but he'll be nominated. He had a great season. And they're beating Washington at their own game.
At their own game.
Big, strong, physical, defense-oriented team with Barry Trotz.
I was saying all along, you know, the reason I thought they lost game two is because Washington put the physicality on them. We didn't keep up with it. And we didn't put the speed back in the game. Because, you know, not only, we are being as physical as Washington is in some cases a lot more.
Yeah.
But, again, speed kills. And when we're lying on the back of our skates, and we're holding back, and we're not putting the speed up there like we did in the first period and a half in game three today. You know, speed is going to kill you, and especially a team like Washington that's big sized.
Right.
If you can outskate them, you're going to beat them.
That's what the Islanders did the first part of the season. Actually, that's why they were in first for most of the year. They would do it. They were fast team. They were moving back and forth. They were scoring. They were doing great. They played well. They're back to that again. That's the game one. Exactly what I said. I said they reminded me of when they were in first, when they were playing great in the beginning of the year to the middle of the year.
That's the only way they're going to win this series is they got to come and play every night. You know, they're up 2-1. They got the game obviously at home on two. If they can go back to Washington up 3-1, they're going to be in great shape.
Oh yeah, and to come back to the old barn on that Saturday.
If they get to that point.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they're coming back anyway on Saturday, right?
You're never in trouble till you lose that third game.
Yeah. But mm-hmm.
Right.
If Washington don't get their act together in a hurry, you know, because the final score will say 2-1 in overtime. But that's not the way this game was played.
No.
This was a goalie standing on his head today.
There was one that went through the crease that tipped off the post that could have went in for us earlier in the first period. I mean, they had Hopi played fantastic. He was standing on his head.
Because he wasn't as Derek just said, he wasn't getting a lot of help from some of his defensemen. They just were, They were more passengers in some cases.
Look at this. You got your first overtime win since the Pittsburgh series in 93. And this is probably the first time the Islanders are up 2-1 in the
series. Since 93.
Since the series against Washington, right?
Yep.
Well, Derek, you tell me. What did I say from the beginning? What did I say what I wanted the Islanders to do? This is my Stanley Cup. What is it?
You wanted them to win the first round.
Thank you.
And play the Rangers.
Yes.
That's what
you
said.
So this, for us to get out and win the first round, is basically my Stanley Cup and to play you in the
and
second
let me
round.
Tell you something.
Thank you.
I want, Johnny, since you're off tonight, maybe you could do this research for your next show, but I believe at one point, because it's amazing, you know, listen, I know the Islanders missed the playoffs for a lot of years and, you know, they haven't won a series in how long, but the first overtime win since 93. I remember when I was growing up, at one point, I don't know what their record is career now, but at one point the Islanders were like 29-9 in overtime games.
At one point, and
that is unreal. That kind of stat, nobody has that.
Yes.
The Canadians might. I doubt they do. That is unreal. They're probably still at least 20-some-odd games over 500.
Yeah.
They're probably like 31-11, whatever.
I'll try to find out when you
curious as to what it is now, but it was 29-9 through that big period of dominance.
I will try to find out while you're on.
You guys are sitting in a good spot. I hate to say it, but you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are.
Even though you thought the Islanders were going to lose the series before it started.
I said it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you bashed them all last show and said that the coach should be fired if they get swept. And then at the end of the show, you said,
"That's a legitimate
question." Oh, by the
way,
Islanders is in six. That's what you said.
Yeah. I said the Islanders is in six. I don't know what you said exactly.
He's a fence rider.
He said Islanders in six. He said Islanders in six after I said Islanders in six.
I said Islanders in six on last show.
I said it first.
All right.
I sent a text out, but I don't know if it went to all you guys or just John, but I basically said the Islanders in six, the Rangers in five, Montreal in six, and Tampa Bay in, did I say seven?
Yeah.
I think I said Tampa Bay.
Ottawa leads now, John, after two.
John was winning after
20
two.
20 saves for Anderson. So maybe the move pays off for Dave Cameron.
Yep.
Maybe the coach does make the smart move because I wouldn't have done it.
But John, maybe that Rangers in five is not going to come true.
It might not. Maybe
it might be Pittsburgh in five.
Might not. You said Rangers in five too, Sweeney.
I did say that.
Yeah.
But I don't think
Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to beat the Rangers.
I hope they go seven games and they beat the hell out of each
other. Penalties before the season, Sweeney had the Kings win the Stanley Cup. Now his second favorite team is the Anaheim Ducks.
You know something? This is what I hope
happens. He's got a Getzlaff jersey on order in case the Islanders get knocked out.
I hope it goes seven games. They kill each other in that game, and everyone just falls and drops.
Now, does Crosby really have a concussion?
No.
He got a little loopy on a collision last night.
That was not a big hit.
Like Tavares today, Crosby went to the net twice for two big goals for Pittsburgh. Not goal scorer goals.
Yep.
Going to the net.
Fundamentals
of the game.
Yep. Exactly
and he got run over accidentally by Carl Hagelin. Well, he's a little loopy, but that's because he's got a concussion history. So when you listen, it's like boxing, Johnny, right?
Yeah.
What are the hits that hurt you the most?
The ones that just miss.
The ones you don't see coming.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what happened. It wasn't much of a hit when you didn't see it coming.
All right, John, we got to let you go because we're going to be changing gears here.
John, all right.
John, have a good one. I'm glad. I'll give you a call. All right, John?
All right, guys. You take it easy.
All right, you too, John. Listen to this next hour. It's going to be fun.
Enjoy the playoffs, kiddo.
All right, take it easy.
All right, so this is over for the first hour of Sports Talk 1240. Derek Wasek's going to take in control of the driver's seat. And we're going to have Don LaGreca from ESPN Radio.
That's right. No calls until Don's done.
No calls until Don's done. So in the second half hour, if you want to give us a call, 631-888-8811. This is Gary, John, and Derek for Sports Talk 1240 WGBB, and we'll be back.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.